The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth passes away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all these things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these least commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to brother, 'Raga,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. And amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said that whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord on all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, not by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Wow, that was a lot, wasn't it? Did you get it all? You know, there was a shorter form of the gospel that I could have used, and a really good preacher would have used a shorter form and would not try to go into all this, because it's too much. But I'm free to do it. It starts at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, and it's a very important scene where Jesus is laying out what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And he goes up into the mountain in Galilee area, and from a human point of view, this is where revolutionaries plotted the overthrow of Rome. But there's something much more than going on than the human view. It also brings to mind when Moses went up on the mountain and gave the law. And Jesus is revealing himself as the true lawgiver. He's commanding this new law, and it raises us to a higher standard. And so he says, don't unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes or Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not anything bad against the scribes and the Pharisees. It's just that they were the ones who promulgated and defined the law. And what Jesus is saying is that, you know, the law is good, but we need to do better. Because the law only talks about external behavior, and our behavior is important because it has consequences. It shapes the world. It hurts others or helps others. But ultimately, our behavior stems and our sins stem and our bad behavior stems from a root cause that is the heart. That's what Jesus is trying to address. And so he goes over the commandments. You should not kill. When you get angry, he's saying the source of our sin sometimes is we need to deal with that anger. Anger is not sin, but it does tell us a lot of important things about ourselves. And the sources of our anger can be both good or bad. It can represent virtue, and we're angry at sins and injustices, or it can indicate that we've got some faults, and we're angry about things that we're basically selfish about, or we want our own way. And so, when the anger comes up, Jesus is encouraging us to look at its source, to try to understand, open our heart to God's healing if there's something that needs to be healed. And if it's something that is righteous anger, give it to God. On the cross, he had the right to be the most angry, right? Yet those who crucified and killed him, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so he counsels us to reconcile with one another. But he even goes further. He says, don't call people raga. Have you ever called anyone raga? I don't think so. But it's a slang or it's a term meaning imbecile or it's an insult along with fool. Because when we attack a person with our words, it's just like attacking them physically. Because we try to hurt or even kill their person, their reputation. And it drags them down. We should be building people up, not dragging them down. He goes on, still with me? That you heard it shall not commit adultery, but I say that you even lust is a sin. Well, lust comes up in most people's lives. And so it's really, again, like the anger. It's an indication of where our values are. And ultimately, lust indicates that we are objectifying others and that we're seeing them as a satisfaction for our desires. Christ did just the opposite, laid down his life for others. Every person is a child of the King, and our job is not to use them as objects to satisfy us, but us to serve them and to give God praise and thanks for their beauty. Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. In our world, in this modern world, but probably for a long time, divorce statistics are high. I think it's around 50%. We do struggle with this, but Jesus is still setting the higher standard. Marriage is meant to be forever because marriage is patterned on a relationship with God and humanity, and God's love is faithful and eternal. And so too, the purpose of marriage in our life is not simply the human desire for love. It is a divine desire for love. And it is ultimately the love of God that fulfills us. And so our marriage has become a means of sanctification that we should be growing not only in human love, but in divine love, love of God. And that love, if we're both open to it, has the power to help heal us from our faults, so that our marriages will grow and be healthy. And finally, do not take a false oath. Do not swear by all of these things. It's a little complicated, but in Jesus' day, and it was the practice that you would swear an oath if you want to tell the truth. You want someone to believe you, which implies that if you didn't swear an oath, you could lie. Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes, your no be no. You don't need to take oaths. Be people of the truth. And so Jesus is calling us to a much higher standard. He is trying to overthrow the Roman government, but in reality, he's trying to bring about the kingdom of heaven, which is greater than all governments because it will transform governments. Last week, We were asked to be salt of the earth, light for the world. That means we are to go out into this world and transform the world and not have the world transform us. Today's gospel, then, Jesus' challenge is difficult, isn't it? We all fall short of this higher standard. But it doesn't mean we should reduce the standard. We should simply recognize that we fall short and that we need God's help. And so here's the good news, is that Jesus not only gives us the higher standard, but he gives us the power to follow that higher standard. Did you know that? Did you believe that? Is that power active in your life? Let me describe this power to you, prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah during the Babylonian exile, when the people longed for salvation because they had sinned, because their lives had become difficult without God, because they had turned. The prophet Jeremiah talks about what Christ would do, the new kingdom, the new covenant. And he says, look, the days are coming.
This is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31.
Look, the days are coming, Yahweh declares, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not like the covenant I made with their ancestors the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, a covenant which they broke, even though I was their master, Yahweh declares. No, this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel when those days come. Within them I shall plant my law, writing it on their hearts. Then I shall be their God, and they will be my people. And there will be no further need for anyone to teach neighbor or brother, saying, learn to know Yahweh. No, they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. And I shall forgive their guilt and never call to mind their sin again. To know the Lord, that's in a biblical sense, to be intimate. Jesus in his death and resurrection breathed his Holy Spirit on the early church, and that Holy Spirit continues to be given to us through the sacraments. The breath of God upon the early church was like Genesis, when God created humanity. In Jesus, we are recreated, restored to that original innocence, that original grace that Jesus now restores by lifting the law to the higher level, but he gives us the Holy Spirit. And in order to receive that Spirit that God wants to transform our hearts, we have to take time to open to it. It happens in prayer. When we open and examine our lives and the times that we have fallen short, the mess we have made of our lives, we confess to God in our hearts, we open to that Holy Spirit, and we ask for God to continue to transform our heart into that new creation he wants it to be, like his own, so that then we may go into the world and transform the world. Jesus today gives us a higher law, but he also gives us the power to follow it. We have a negative view of law, but Jesus says, I came to fulfill it, because ultimately the law brings true freedom. We think of law as restricting us, but if you think about it, if we follow anything we want, and there are many goods in the world, we are distracted. And we become a slave to the world. We become a slave to time because there's only 24 hours in a day and we can't do everything. But if we say no to some things and focus on the one true good, it frees us to do that. And that one true good is to know and love God, allow that love to transform us, and then to go out into the world and be salt for the earth, light for the world to transform it. In these days, as we read these laws, we find many examples of people falling short, including our leaders and our people of influence and power in the world. And it's easy to point fingers, but the truth be told, who's got the most power? Who's got the most influence, or should? It's God's children. It's the church. It's Christians. So let us open our hearts to that Holy Spirit. Let us follow the freedom of God's law. Let us allow God to transform our hearts so that we may transform the world.